Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are going to get started and get focused on the Lord and what the Lord has brought us here for, which one thing that he brought us here for is community, because it's very important that, we just get together with other godly believers and have fellowship, and so that's very important. But, this morning we want to focus on the Word, and I just want to start in prayer. And I'm going to pray a prayer probably that I pray all the time and almost every day. And so I feel like, the woman in the Bible that was knocking on the door of the judge, and because she just kept on knocking, he didn't even care about God or anything. He just got tired of her knocking, so he went and answered. And that was a evil judge. And Jesus gave us that parable because he was saying, if an evil judge would do this, how much more will your perfectly good heavenly Father do for you if you ask him? We don't realize so many blessings that we have withheld from us just because we fail to ask. You have not because you ask not. But so is there anything, before we get started, anybody specifically wants to pray about, needs prayer about, healing, comfort, peace in a situation? Yeah, brother, what you got?
My cousin has a kidney blockage.
Okay.
She's having some kind of infection.
Okay.
She's in
the
hospital.
Gotcha.
Just my son's grandfather, they've had to sedate him for like a week now in ICU, so just pray for him.
Okay. Praise God. Anybody else? Yeah, Naomi.
My right knee.
Yeah.
Having some pain, or what it is, I'm just praying healing, but I wouldn't appreciate it.
Amen. Can we get any ladies that believe in healing prayer to lay hands on Naomi while we pray? Lisa?
So I think this is, I know I'm not the only one, it's all of us, and however we pray for that, but I think families are under attack.
Amen. Yeah.
Right now, and there's so much discourse in my family right now. So
yeah.
I'm not the only one. So I would pray against it.
Amen. Yeah, absolutely. Anybody else?
Ed? Debbie had the worst headache she's had in years, and just exhausted, and she's just kind of recovering today.
Amen. Definitely keep her lifted up. Anybody else? Father, we just thank you in the name of Jesus, God. And we just magnify you as holy Lord. And we thank you, Father, that you've led us in this way, God, to ask for these healings. And God, we know that in faith that if we ask, Lord, that you'll do it for us, God. That if even in a sea of doubt, Lord, if we plant a seed of faith, that you're going to make it rain on it, God. So we just pray, God, for the increase of our faith. Even as we pray right now, we pray that your Holy Spirit would embolden us to ask for greater things. Because as Charlie always says, greater things are still to come. And God, we believe it, Lord, and we receive it in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask for healing for every person who has a kidney stone or is in the hospital right now. Naomi's knee, Debbie recovering, God. And we just pray that you would just touch and minister to each person right now in the name of Jesus. And we pray for healing, God. We want to hear a report about how you came through in this moment, God, and that you healed these people, Jesus. Lord, we believe in the miracle power, and we believe that you didn't stop when your canonized Bible was done written, God. We don't believe that you stopped performing miracles, but that you still are the same God that you were yesterday, today, and forever will be, Lord. So we just thank you, God, for healing these people, comforting them, and God, we do pray for the families that are under attack. The enemy wants to come in and break up the family unit and take you off the throne as head of the family unit, because that's where it begins, Lord. So, God, we just pray against that in the name of Jesus, that we put the devil on warning that we are here in the name of Jesus, and that we will not accept anything less than God's goodness for our families, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
I
Well, let me get some water real quick. I was going to start with a joke this morning and tell y'all that I was almost late because the people in front of me weren't willing to speed as much as I was for me to get here, so I apologize for them not being willing to speed as much as me, but but I did make it on time, praise God. That's just a joke, people. It's okay. We can laugh. All right. So Proverbs 3:13, we're talking about remaining teachable is the main thing here. And, you know, one of the main reasons that I believe that God gave me this topic to teach on is because he cares so much about us having wisdom. And, I mean, it's so important. We talked about this in the first study, but over 200 times in the Bible, wisdom is mentioned. I mean, there's hardly any other topics that are mentioned as much as wisdom in the Bible, and so it's very important that we get it. And in fact, the Proverbs makes it so simple for us. The wisest thing that you can do is what? Get wisdom. That's a proverb for you. Get wisdom and understanding. With all your knowledge, get understanding. And so it's very important. But Proverbs 3:13 through 18 is where we're going to start. This is in the Amplified Classic Edition because I just love how it brings out the scripture here. It says, "Happy, blessed, and fortunate is the man who finds skillful and godly wisdom. And the man who gets understanding, drawing it forth from God's word and life's experiences." That's beautiful. See, knowledge is power, and we'll get to that. That's actually a scripture that we're going to cover here in a little bit. But knowledge is power. And wisdom is the discernment to be able to judge whether or not to use or withhold that power in any given situation. In other words, just because we know something doesn't always mean that it's the opportune time to share something. For example, you may have a vast knowledge of end time prophecy, and you're with a young believer who just got saved, and you try to pour out all this, you know, lofty knowledge that you've gained on this person, and it chokes them out because they can't understand what you're talking about. They haven't even got past the basics yet. You know, so that's wisdom, is being able to use discernment and say, okay, this person just got saved, so they don't need to hear about end times eschatology, or they don't need to hear about, justification by faith and all these things. They just need to hear about Jesus died for my sins and that he rose from the grave on the third day, and that if I believe in him, I can have life for eternity. You know, we need to keep it basic with them so that we don't choke out what the seed that's already been planted in them. You understand what I'm saying? If you were planting a garden and you had some seeds and you planted them in there, if you pour a whole 5-gallon bucket in there at one time, it's going to be too much water and it will kill the seed out before it ever has a chance to grow. You know, that's pretty simple, but it's something that we need to keep in mind as we learn more and everything, and we get excited. And Pastor Terry says it one way, but I've heard it said, like, you know, it's like you're a fire hydrant and you bust the top off and you're trying to give somebody a drink of water out of it. You know, it's not going to work. So, so understanding, on the other hand, is gaining knowledge and then knowing that you have a choice of whether or not to apply this knowledge. So once you comprehend something, you are faced with the choice of whether you should obey the truth you have discovered or not. And so understanding is also the end goal of knowledge. So when we're getting knowledge, we're getting it to try and understand how things work. And then once we understand how those things work, we can then apply them to our lives, or we can decide not to apply them to our lives. So the Amplified Classic Bible said in that scripture that wisdom and understanding is brought about from God's word and life experiences. We need to have both to grow and mature, right? So we don't just need to have a head knowledge of the scriptures and think that because we know a bunch of scriptures or that we know a lot about the Bible that we're really wise. That's not necessarily wisdom. It will help lead you to wisdom. But we also need life experiences. And so some people think because they are just simply older and that maybe they don't have the knowledge of the scriptures that that's just enough. But you can't have one or the other. You must have both. You need to have life experiences that you can take God's word and you can apply it to these life experiences. And then you can share that knowledge with other people and you can say, okay, you know, I seen God move this way, you know, and it brought this scripture to mind or whatever. You know, you see these scriptures lived out, and once you've lived it out, then you can pass on that same knowledge and wisdom and revelation to someone else because you've actually lived it. It's not just something that you know up here, but it's something that you know in here. Yes, Lynn.
If anybody ever asks me about end times.
Yep. Amen.
That's it.
Amen. And the end times is really the beginning of some new good times, so no need to fear. But let's see. You know, it says that knowledge, when it is alone, it puffs up. You know, so you can get a lot of head knowledge, you can learn a lot about the scriptures, and you can become haughty because you know a little bit of scripture. And we forget, it's crazy because I've done this before, but we forget that the knowledge that we gained was from us spending time with God, and God gave us the grace to be able to learn what we learned. But then if we're not careful, we can take that knowledge and we can turn around and try to beat people up with it. And that's not what God intended for us to do with the scriptures. You can go, I've done it myself, and I've listened to other people. You can take certain scriptures and pull them out, and you can use those scriptures to really beat people down with the scriptures and have them feeling like they're not even worthy to be saved, you know? And that's not true. That's not what God wants. He wants us to feel like we're worthy. In fact, he thought that we were so worthy that he was willing to give his only begotten son. And so if we say that we wasn't worthy of his salvation and his goodness, we're saying that Jesus' sacrifice was not good enough, you know, that he wasn't worthy. So God doesn't want us to beat people up with the knowledge that we get. And wisdom from this world is demonic. You know, we've talked about that before, but when you have experience practicing the knowledge that you've gained from God's word, all of a sudden you have understanding of how the kingdom of God works. So when you have a knowledge of the scriptures and when you have a knowledge of how things work, how you can apply that scripture, well, then you know how the kingdom of God operates, and you can operate in the kingdom of God effectively. And see, that's what we need to be focused on, is not just knowing the word or knowing about the word or knowing about Jesus or even just knowing Jesus, but we need to know how Jesus operates. And then we know how he wants us to operate in this kingdom. Yes, Lisa. Yeah, amen.
So I said 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, oh, what are you in bed? And then I read this morning, I woke up at 3:30, I read some more. You know, I've been saved for a really long time. I've been saved for a really long time, but sometimes every now and then I just give me good and read the Old Testament.
Yeah, praise God. That's good. I love seeing when people get a hunger for the Lord and they just start digging in, because it is exciting. There is so much. When you spend time with God and you set aside time for him and you get into his word at 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock, whenever it is, you set aside time for him and he meets you there, something powerful is going to happen. And there's going to be growth and maturity and fruit that's going to come out of that. And so it's exciting for me to get to see it in other people's lives, because it's just the goodness of God on display right here in front of of us, you know? So I do enjoy that. Thank you for sharing that, Lisa. All right, hold on a second.
Mm-hmm. I got more. I got more. When you come into the house of the Lord, this is not the house. You are the house of the Lord. So you bringing him in and what he's doing in your life this week, we come together so that you can share. Mm-hmm. And that starts to fire and start moving across everybody else. And that's why we come together.
Amen.
Right there. So that we can share the one we love.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, brother. Yeah. Hey, I'm. It's so wonderful. You know, in 1 Corinthians 14, it talks about how the church is supposed to operate. We're the church, right? And it says, and when you come together, let the prophet speak by two or by three, and let the others sit and judge. And if one has a word, let the others be quiet, and let that person then speak. And come together with a psalm, a hymn, a spiritual song, all these things. So that's how God intends for it to happen. I don't believe it was ever meant to be just one man stand up at a pulpit and give a message and everybody else say, well, I got my word for the week. I'm good to go, you know, and go on about their life. It is meant for us all to participate in this and the fellowship of unity. There is so much strength when we come together in unity, we can get so much more accomplished. And I was talking to Billy this last week, and we were talking about, you know, it just hit me. There was a saying that it takes a village to raise a child, right? But it takes a kingdom to raise a man. You understand what I'm saying? It really does. To be able to disciple people, it takes more than just one person to try and disciple somebody. It takes a group of godly people to get around somebody and to be able to minister to them and raise them up in the ways of God so that they can then begin to walk and talk and act more like Jesus and to be more free and moving in his kingdom the way that God intended them to be. Yes, Ed.
This is stimulating my thinking here.
Praise God.
the distinction between knowledge and wisdom.
Yes. Yes.
You want to speak the truth in love.
Amen.
You could have also the opposite, where you could just be so compassionate, but you don't really know much, have much truth to offer.
That is so true.
You have to have both. You have to have the truth, but you have to have that heart motivation of love, that wisdom, how to apply that and help people out.
Yeah. Amen. And true love is not going to overlook the truth to just be loving to somebody. So. Yeah, that's right. Sometimes there is tough love, and sometimes we need tough love. You know I've needed it before. And if it wouldn't have been for tough love, I wouldn't have come to know the Lord the way that I know him right now. And that is a 100% fact. And but if it wasn't for God's goodness, I also wouldn't know him the way that I know him now. And that's the part that I hope y'all don't have to learn God the way that I learned God at the very bottom. You know what I'm saying? I want you to know him in his goodness. But whatever it takes, I want you to know him. So let's look at verse 14. Let's see, we're in Proverbs 13. This is verse 14, and see what it says. It says, for the gaining of it, talking about wisdom and understanding, is better than the gaining of silver, and the profit of it better than fine gold. In other words, getting wisdom from God's word and understanding from life's experiences is better than money. You can't buy it, you know? And so check it out. Here's the truth, though. If you have God's experience and you have life's understandings, you can get the money if you want the money. I mean, that's nothing really, you know, that's nothing. But having God's wisdom and understanding and discernment and knowing how to handle life's decisions that come at you, because we all have big life decisions that we have to face every single day. Sometimes bigger decisions than others, but we need God's wisdom, and you can't just go to an ATM and put in a card and pull out God's wisdom. You know, it only comes from having those life experiences with Him and spending time in His Word and spending time in prayer. Spending time with His people also is very important. And just getting out and being around these fellowships, these bodies, these evangelistic events and revival, just everything that you can do around godly people, these experiences that you can have will increase your wisdom and understanding. And you can't buy that. In other words, you can't pay for it. The only way you can get it is just by experiencing it. It makes me think about, let's look at verse 15 also. It says, skillful and godly wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you can wish for is to be compared to her. I think about Solomon. You know, God said that you can ask me for anything and I will do it for you. And so he could have asked for fame and power, riches and honor, but he didn't. He asked for wisdom. And more specifically, he asked for wisdom to be able to not build his own legacy and empire, but to be able to judge rightly between the people that he was an overseer over. Because he realized that he needed God's wisdom to serve God and to serve his people, the people that God had entrusted to him, because he realized that people's livelihoods and their very lives were at stake, and that is more important than money. You know, people's well-being is more important than money. You can't buy good health. You can't buy, you know, someone's mental health being good. You know, you can't buy those things. But when, so God seen that his heart was in the right place when he asked for this wisdom, because it wasn't even for himself. It was to serve his people. And so when God seen that his heart was in the right place, he gave him what he asked for with a little bit of interest on top of that. You know what I'm saying?
Just a little bit.
He would become the richest man of all time, like, ever. And I will talk about money, but I don't care about money like that. You know, I mean, I really don't. Anyways, I don't want to get into it, but I don't believe in a false prosperity. This Bible study is called Remaining Teachable. And while I was studying it, I seen that there were so many things that it talked about remaining teachable, you know, getting wisdom and being successful, having victory and having success. Well, I love victory and success, and so I almost named the Bible study, you know, Remaining Teachable, a way to success. But then I didn't want people to get the wrong idea. But it is true. If you have wisdom, you can be successful. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I mean, that's abasing and that's abounding. I mean, it's just the truth. So there is a true, just touching on that real quick. There is a true prosperity of God. You know, it says that he makes rich and he adds no sorrow to it. And so God does care about our well-being, but also, you know, you can't go to a third world country and preach that God, if you believe it, that you're going to receive a car or $100,000 or whatever. It just doesn't work like that. There is a true prosperity, though, and the biggest thing is just being prosperous by being content with God and whatever he has allotted for you in this life. There was a psalm that says, "Give me my portion for today, neither make me rich that I forget thy name, nor make me poor that I steal and defame thy name." Give me what I need for today. No more, no less. That's true prosperity. Being content with whatever he has given you. If your heart is not content with him, you're always going to be upset trying to get the next thing to try to bring you contentment, and nothing ever will, because only God and Jesus is the one who brings contentment and satisfaction. Listen, I told you last time that you are reading my notes, and you said, "Hey, you know that lady too." I wasn't joking though. This is the very next sentence.
Confirmation, brother.
It's confirmation. That's all it is.
That's why I was just over here praying.
Yes, amen.
You know what I mean? And how, let it be established by two or more witnesses, you know what I mean? Confirmation again, bring it around.
Yeah.
We'll see more later on.
Amen. That's beautiful. Thank you, Mike. But yeah, I said, thank you, Ed. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. I said, you know, this, if we seek godly wisdom, these other things are just a byproduct. So what comes along with godly wisdom is long life, riches, honor, pleasantness. This is the Word of God. I'm not making this up. This is what the Scripture says. And so it's like if we seek godly wisdom, you know, like Solomon did, these other things are just a byproduct of that. It's like God, He likes to use package deals. And it made me think about Matthew 6:33, where it says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you. God likes to take things and package them together so that we get a little bit more than what we bargained for. Go ahead. Go ahead, Lynn.
A lot of the things that are crumbling before our eyes are probably some of the very things that need to be yanked out of some Christians' lives, or at least yeah. Make them think about, where is my worship?
Amen.
Who am I looking to? What am I looking to?
Yeah.
Because that's going,
whatever. Yeah. Well, it's good if we got idols in our lives and God comes and He takes them out. You know, if there was anything in my life like that, I would want God to get rid of it. You know, if it was my business or any success that I've had or anything, I would rather be back broke and just have Jesus and contentment and true worship and spend time with Him than I would have anything else, because I'm telling you, there is nothing else that compares to having peace with God and just being able to come boldly before Him, because you know you have nothing hindering you. Nothing of this world is binding you up and got control over you to where you can't freely worship Him. You know, that's what I want to be able to do. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Praise God. Amen. Amen. That's a good word. Yes, Vicki.
I was thinking the world has redefined the word success.
Amen.
We place success around a lot of materialism.
Amen.
You got a big house or whatever. But how success is a person if he's wealthy and has no peace?
Amen.
And no
joy. Amen.
He's on the verge of suicide.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a wealthy.
That's a poor man right there.
That's a poor man. That's wisdom.
Amen. Amen.
Success is like you described so beautifully. It's when you can find contentment in whatever God said. Be content in whatever state you're in.
Amen.
They are in.
Amen. I just wanted to tell you what success looks like to me. You know, success for me is not about the money or the materialistic things. It is about having peace with God. I had things happen over the past month. It seems like I've been paying out a lot of money that I could have in my business, that I should have been obtaining this money, but yet I was paying it out because I wanted to keep peace in a certain situation. You know, I was like, I would rather have peace with God than have this money, so I will let this person have this money or whatever just so that I can have peace. So success for me is defined in having peace with God, having joy with God, and having my family, you know, and having my family be prosperous in health. You know, in John it says, I pray that you would prosper as your soul prospers, that your health, body, and mind would prosper. I want to see my family prosper in that way. That would be success to me. And finally, the most important thing is success for me is growing and maturing in the faith, showing love to people. Being able to share the truth in love, that's successful to me. When I can get to that place where I can live not up here just teaching on Sunday morning about the love of God and the love of Christ and everything, but when I'm on the job site and it's 90 degrees and I've had a bad day, can I still show the love of Christ to the people around me? When I can get to that place and do that perfectly, that is going to be success for me, you know. And I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's success. I want to be doing whatever the Father's will is for my life. That's success for me. If I can accomplish that, I have succeeded. Let's look at Proverbs 13, 16 through 18. Again, this is referring to wisdom. It says, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pathways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold on her, and happy, blessed, fortunate is everyone who holds her fast. That's like everything that we just got done talking about. Boom, summed up right there. let's go ahead and go to Proverbs 24, 3 through 6. It says, through skillful and godly wisdom is a house, a life, a home, a family built. And by understanding, it is established on a sound and good foundation. And by knowledge shall its chambers of every area be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong and is better than a strong man. And a man of knowledge increases and strengthens his power. See, this is where I got that definition for knowledge. For by wise counsel you can wage war, and in the abundance of counselors there is victory and safety. I told you, I love victory and safety. So that's why I love how the Amplified brought that out, because some translations say one or the other, but it puts them both together. God puts people, this is talking about, I'm going to start talking about the wise counsel here that it was talking about. For by wise counsel, you can wage your war, and in abundance of counselors, there is victory and safety. God puts people in our lives that to help lead us in the way that we should go, because they can share their life experiences with us. And they can say, you know, I've had success doing it that way, or I failed doing it that way. Because how many people know that knowing how not to do something can be just as valuable as knowing how to do something? I've learned a lot in my life just from knowing how not to do things, because I did them the wrong way for so long. But pray, you know, if you don't have people like that in your life, you know, say you're new in the faith or whatever, or you just don't get out and, you know, socialize much, make sure that you pray for God to put people like that in your lives, because it's very important to have people that will teach you and share. Go ahead, Ed.
I think what you're hitting on here, we can have a teachable spirit, mm-hmm. and that's a good thing.
Amen.
But that's a kind of at a passive level. That's like, you know, mm-hmm. if somebody comes along and has something to say to you, well, you'll listen to them.
Yeah.
What you're talking about is the next level, which is mm-hmm. like taking it up to the varsity.
Yeah.
That's an active level where you're not just receiving or accepting it when somebody tells you something. It's where you're actually going out and looking
seeking
for
it.
Advice and counsel and mm-hmm. wisdom from other people.
Amen.
It's a whole different thing, and just it's even better.
Absolutely. And It is, that is so good. And one thing I wanted to talk about real quick, got just a few minutes and we'll try to wrap it up. But I've had people in my life. So when I first started my business, I had a friend who had 15, 20 more years experience than me. And so in the beginning, I would call him all the time and ask him questions about things. And he probably got wore out by me asking questions. But I did that, and I had a handful of people, actually, that I do like this, but one in particular, and I was able to learn so much from them. And I would be on the job sometimes, and I would be in a situation that was really difficult, and I would call my friend, and I would ask for advice, and I'm hoping that he would tell me something that would make it easier for me. That's what I'm hoping for. But in fact, sometimes I would call him and get advice, and the thing that he would tell me would be the most difficult way that I could do something, and it was not only difficult, but it was going to cost me money to the point where I probably wouldn't make any money on this job. And that's not what I wanted to hear, but it's what I needed to hear. How many know that Proverbs 27:6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." So sometimes we need to hear the difficult truths, because it's the best thing. So I would call him, and all the time he would tell me the hard way to do things. But it was the best way to do things and the right way to do things. And because I heeded his advice and I would take that advice, it allowed me to become successful in my business, because I've got a reputation now for where I will do things the right way. Even if it's at my expense, it's going to be done the right way, you know. And that just kind of instilled that in me. But my point in that is that God does put people like that in our lives. And if you don't have people like that that you can think of right off, then go ahead and start trying to seek out these people. Because God has put pastors and leaders and teachers, brothers and sisters in Christ in our lives so that they can share life's experiences and that we can all grow in wisdom and knowledge and understanding and, of course, be more effective and fruitful in the kingdom of God. Amen. One last thing real quick with my last minute here. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow." That would certainly not be for your benefit. God, these people that God puts in our lives, we need to honor them and cherish them. And you know, one of the ways that we can honor and cherish these people is by taking the advice that they give us. You know how much it wears you out when you are trying to help people and they will not take the... They've got a slew of problems, a list of problems, and you're like, man, I know how to get out of that one because I've been there before. And you give them that advice and they go and do the opposite thing. It will beat you down. It wears you out. I'm telling you, it just really is a gut punch to the soul for me. I don't know how it is for everybody else. But on the other hand, when you see somebody taking the advice from the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding that you have, and you then impart to them, and they take that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and apply it to their lives, and then you see them succeed, it is a great joy. There's nothing better than that, to see somebody have success, because that's what you're trying to impart to them. You're pouring out your heart and your soul to people, trying to teach them. And then when they remain teachable and they take that advice and they succeed, it is such a blessing from God. And there's no greater way, I think, to honor the one who is teaching you than to do those very things that they ask you to do. And so I'm going to wrap it up for this week. Had a little bit more, but my time is out. So we're just going to pray. Father God, we just pray that you would seal this word in our hearts and in our minds, God. Let it begin to permeate into our soul, Lord, so that we begin to live out these words and not just know about them. The same with you, God. We pray that we would begin to live your spirit out through us and not just know about you, but start to act like and talk like and walk like you do, God, and treat other people the way that you do, God. And Lord, we just put the enemy on assignment and say that we are here to worship today, to come together in unity, to see miracles happen, to see people saved, to see people come to the true knowledge and saving faith in you, God, that we come to worship and lift up your name so that you will draw all people unto yourself, God. And so we pray for an anointing on the worship team. We pray for anointing on our ears as we listen and hear to what your spirit is saying to us today. And we pray for the anointing on the pastor and teacher Reverend Mike Duncan today as he brings your word, Father God. We pray that by the word of two or three people that every word would be established. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would just bring us together in unity today in Jesus' name. And let us see a powerful manifestation of your spirit here in Jesus' name. Amen.